Also, her brother is named Sean and is married to Liz. And
yeah. No, that's not true.
And his name.
Why did we say this earlier?
Oh, he spells it S-H-A-U-N. Oh, also.
Okay. Now, see, this... wow.
Yeah.
No! Hey, welcome to the Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies. I am your host, Matt. Thank you for joining us today. We have a great episode for you guys.
Whoa.
What's the problem?
Are you taking over Laughing with Ginger?
Wait, where are we? What's going on? Who am I? What is happening? I thought this was a scary movie, bro, but you guys are more than welcome to join us. What are we doing here? What's going on?
Oh my goodness. We are doing a crossover with the Scary Movie Project here on Laughing with Gingers,
right,
or wherever you're finding this, whichever outlet you're finding this on. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. I don't even like scary movies, but I like the one that we watched.
We welcome guests who love them, who don't love them. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love them, hate them, you're welcome to come on the show.
I might have screamed a little during the watch of that and jumped a little.
That's good. I mean, you should have a reaction. That's a good thing.
My heart palpitated.
That is one of the main objectives of making a good scary movie is to frighten people.
I sweated a little. Good. You know, it's sort of like laughing.
You went through all the emotions, the range of emotions in this film.
I did, just like laughing.
And, you know, we keep talking about this film. What film are we talking about today, guys? What are we doing? We are talking about, 2006's Shaun of the Dead? Because this is crossover with Laughing with Gingers, you guys have to have we have to have something comedy related, obviously.
Yeah,
so obviously. We're going to make this, which is a great, funny, scary movie, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good film. It has, you know... good scary. There is good zombie violence. There is stuff, you know, adheres to a zombie film, but it is funny. Like, I mean, overwhelmingly, it's a funny movie, right? You know, there's just a lot of, and we can obviously touch on all these hilarious lines, of course, as we go along.
I agree. But first, I think we might want to introduce ourselves.
Nah, we don't need to do that, but okay.
Matt, you want to tell everybody who you are?
My name is Matt, and I am the host of previously mentioned of the Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies and fill it with spoilery spoilers, as you would call them. And that's what we intend to do on this program today. But I'm joined by these two lovely ladies, so we'll let them introduce themselves so I don't say something I'm not supposed to say or something I don't include. or something I forget to include.
Well, on Laughing with Gingers, I historically introduce my co-host in a ridiculous way. And
I don't want to get away from you.
Today, I am going to call out my scaredy pants co-host, Christina Curry.
Yeah.
And Sarah Alapin, my co-host on Laughing with Gingers, has, of course, brought a little twist, a little trivia twist to the episode during this episode today. And I'm very excited to probably do really bad on the trivia.
It's okay. You never know. It might be great.
You never know. But my track record on trivia and games isn't always that great.
You know what? I'm usually not that great when we do it either necessarily, but that's okay. Don't matter.
It's true. And I'm not quizzing you today.
It's all about the conversation.
I'm giving you layups today.
So
let's dive in. Let's talk about Shaun of the Dead. Matt, you wanna jump in here?
Shaun of the Dead is a hilarious movie by what's his face? Simon Pegg, right? Mm-hmm. Who is Shaun. You know, overall, it's the story of this guy that works a crappy job in London. Does he live in London? I don't know if it's London or not, right?
It feels like a suburb of London.
A suburb of London. And he has his girlfriend and his buddy, and they go to this bar constantly, and the zombie apocalypse comes, and he doesn't really know it. But it happens, and it's kind of hilarious as it happens. But all the other funny things are happening at the same time. There's more to the story, right? There's just kind of more to it. But, I mean, that's really the synopsis of it, like, overall, right? I don't know if we want to go beat for beat for it, but it's really funny because like a lot of his life is kind of, so he has a job. He works like a British Radio Shack, right? What was the name of the store?
You guys remember? I have this.
Yeah,
I have
what is the name of the store?
You are going to love this trivia. So it's called Foray Electronic or Electric, and it's because Ken Foray starred in Dawn of the Dead in 1978.
Yeah, Ken Foray. Dawn of the Dead is an amazing movie. And Ken Foray is in Dawn of the Dead, and he is fantastic. And I believe I met him at a show once. And I think, yeah, he's like 8 feet tall. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. He's in, there's a cameo in Dawn of the Dead remake. He's great. Yep. I don't know the name of the store. Okay, there's good lines like that in here that you'll catch. So
that's a lot of deep cut trivia on this one.
So dude works there. It's a terrible job, right? He doesn't like it. It's just kind of this.
No
funny
one respects
take.
Him.
No, he has like he keeps saying how he has all this time to do these things, and this young guy who's working there who's like maybe 19 or 20 tells him like, "Oh, what is your plan next?" And he's like, or asking how old he is or something like that. And it's just kind of these moments of like, "Huh, he's just kind of wasting his time here." And then the zombie apocalypse comes, but it's great things of, oh, his girlfriend's about to leave him like at the same time, right? Because all he wants to do, him and his buddies want to go sit at the Winchester, and they just want to get boozed up and hang out there. And that's all he wants to do. Like, he doesn't want to change anything. He just, this is his life. This is what he wants to do with his life. And it's really funny. And like the signs when the apocalypse hits, like, I love like the London neighborhoods that you see in these movies and in films, right? That, you know, all the architecture with like the row houses and the apartments. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that he lives like within walking distance of like a 7-Eleven. He can just walk down the street and he's getting up, like, guess what? And he's seeing people like, weird things are happening in hospitals and like on news broadcasts as days go by, people getting sick and things like that. And it's in the background, right? You don't really hear it, but you hear him talking about it. And then he goes out to the little shop, the mini mart, that one morning, and everything's gone to hell. Like, he opens like the cabinet and like there's bloody handprints all over stuff. It's just like all
and he's so
things.
Oblivious.
Yes, and he has no idea.
No clue.
He has no idea.
He slips in blood.
Yes, yes, I love it.
he's all hungover, I think.
Yes, he is. Because him and his buddy, what's his buddy's name? What's his buddy? Oh god. This is terrible, right? We're forgetting
David.
His name. No.
No. That's the nerdy guy.
No. But well, anyway.
Ed,
of course. His buddy
that's
Ed. They're up all night, like just getting bombed. And you know, his buddy, remember, his roommate, has like his arm wrapped because he said he got bit by one of these things or something.
Yeah. Right.
So all these and the great thing is, like, for you as the audience, it's made to be for us, and we're the ones, we know what's going on, right? It's so well done because the audience knows exactly what's happening, but these idiots have no idea what's happening, right? We're going, oh my God, these people are sick. They're not sick. They're infected. It's the freaking undead, right? And that's what's so good about it. And so they wake up and realize that, yeah, the apocalypse has come. And he's trying to go save his mom. And there's this line of, hold on.
I'd like to say the way they kind of realize it is they think there's a drunk chick in their backyard.
Yes. Oh, Mary.
Please.
Mary the zombie.
That was a great scene of the film.
That scene was so fucking hilarious.
They're like poking
her.
Because
she's just sort of, what?
And she falls over and gets like impaled basically. And they're like, whoa, she's not okay. Something's wrong here.
And then
here.
She gets up with a hole in her gut.
Sure
still
does.
Still alive. Then it's
that's
like.
That's what zombies do.
Oh, it's
that's
on. It's
that's
on
That's what zombies
now.
Do, man.
I have trivia about her.
Okay.
You do.
I do. So she works at Landis Supermarket, and this is a nod to John Landis, who directed American Werewolf in London
in
81, and Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Greatest music video ever made.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it is also a nod to the British chain of convenience stores named Landis.
There you go. See? What great trivia so already. And so I love when they decide when they're going to go get his mom, and they keep this list. Okay, here we go. Plan is go get mom, kill whatever his father-in-law or something. Pick up Liz, cup of tea, all blows over, no problem, right? And it's like, and they keep going over these different ideas as like the thing goes on. And then that great scene, more references here. I don't know if you guys got this one, I hope. When they go and he calls on the phone, and he's talking to his mom and, oh, you know, he's not. And he's saying how that, you know, her husband isn't feeling well and he's sick. And Philip got bitten. And we're like, oh no, crap. Oh my God. New plan, you know, go get mom, kill Philip. and they leave the house. And Ed, last line he says is, we're coming for you, Barbara. which of course is the line from Night of the Living Dead when, you know, they're coming for you, Barbara. They're coming to get, right? So that's a great line. I love that part. Oh, and then, of course, that's when they go and they get him in the Jaguar and they're driving around and he reanimates in the car and they have to all get out of the car. So it's got these like good violent scenes like of zombie stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they got to get his girlfriend and Liz. And they decide, of course, where are they going to hole up? Where is it safe? Going to go to the Winchester.
Yeah.
Have a pub or have a pint.
A pint, tea, all blows over, no problem, right? So it's really funny. And they just these great funny lines. Like I love when they say, so he ends up being, so it's what's his face, Sean, Ed, Liz, Mum, mm-hmm. Philip, who unfortunately dies. And then what is it? Ed's or Sean's neighbors, the woman and the guy, or is that Liz's neighbors? The two.
That's
the couple?
Liz's neighbors.
Liz's right. roommates. So Liz, okay, yeah, roommate. David, and Diane.
David and mm-hmm. Diane. Okay, right.
And which David's everyone hates the kind of jerk.
We hate them.
David's...
We don't like either one of them, quite frankly. But I love that scene when they're trying to figure out where to go and they like say, Sean, is the coast clear? And he climbs at that little plastic slide and he looks up and he looks over and he goes, is it okay? And he goes, no. There's like 100 zombies out there, but I love the idea they use to get to the Winchester, just like in like The Walking Dead they do all the time. They, you know, put the guts, well, they don't use that part, but in like Walking Dead they cover them in themselves in guts and they just kind of cover their face and they kind of like, you know, slouch around like the zombies do, so mm-hmm. the zombies think they're zombies so they don't attack them, right? Now I don't know if that would really work. I'm never going to try when the apocalypse does come, notice when I said when. I am not going to use that one, though. I think that's.
I'm not using that one either.
I think that's an invitation to get eaten. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
I mean, I think it depends on if all of your other options have been exhausted, and that is the only.
Well, I have a pretty intricate plan of what I'm going to do when this happens, and we can talk about that later.
I might borrow your plan because I don't have
you're
one.
You're more than welcome to join me. Yes.
I also don't have a plan.
We don't have a zombie Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll get there.
I was just going to go to the Winchester.
Pint. Wait for it all to blow over.
The Winchester. Go get Mom. Grab Liz. Winchester. And then, of course, they hide out in the Winchester. And things don't go well and people die and... David and Diane die. We don't care really. David, that scene where he gets killed reminds me of you guys seen Day of the Dead?
Yes, definitely not.
It's a good one. Well, it's not great, but it's okay. But when that one scene with that asshole, the lieutenant, remember the army guy, gets like ripped apart by the zombies, that's kind of reminiscent of that scene when they killed David finally. He those two bite the dust. Oh, I love a scene before too, and they're trying to get in and they run in real quick and Ed's phone rings. Goes, 1 second, let me take this. And he just starts having a conversation out on the street while the zombies are like 100 of them are trying to get in, they're trying to be quiet. And Ed, Sean's like, what is the matter with you?
Oh my God.
Oh, I love
Ed
it.
Is and the most frustrating friend ever.
Yeah, he's a good friend when you're 17 and when you're like 20, but after that, he's not doing a whole lot with himself. And of course, unfortunately, he gets bit. But then at the end, it's so great because, you know, they're sitting there in the morning and Sean's talking to Liz. They, of course, reconcile, obviously. And he's talking to, so what's the plan for today? And she's like, well, maybe we'll go do this, this and that. And he's like, okay. And he goes out to the shed out back and you kind of know where he's going. But he gets in the shed and Ed's back there all chained up and he's playing video games.
I know. And then he tries to eat Sean, and Sean's like, no.
Ed, what are you doing? Right. So, yeah, you know what? It does a good job of, like I said, it's smart because it shows us, the audience, first what's happening, and they don't know. And then it goes into, like, you know, pretty much every zombie survival movie mode, a place to hide, people die, whatever, you shoot zombies. But it does a good job, right? It really kind of covers both well. It's very funny. It's a comedy first. And it has the horror aspects, the elements, and it does a good job of them. So, yeah, I watched it again because I hadn't seen it in a long time, and it made me laugh quite a bit. It was very funny. So,
yeah. I would even say my perspective of it, there's a little romance too, because Sean is like not being a good boyfriend to Liz, and
no, he's terrible.
Like, you need he's to step terrible. Up.
You know what,
but
though?
He did. He stepped up during the best time ever.
During the apocalypse, you got to show up, dude.
Yeah.
So you know what is funny about him?
He brought it.
He's like a lot of dudes, I guess, where it's just like he means well, but he just doesn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like he just doesn't know what to do. And that just is the way it is sometimes. But yeah, I mean, in the end, yeah, he saves her, and he saves mostly saves. Yeah, I guess he only saves two of them because his mom
he just
dies.
Saves those two.
No,
his mom died.
No one else survived.
Everyone died, but him and Liz.
In the words of Rob Zombie movies, everybody effing dies. Yep. Mm-hmm. So the two of them make it out. But yeah, funny movie. I definitely enjoyed it. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
I loved it. I of course loved reading like a lot of the background info and the trivia about it afterward. I also had to rewatch it. So when I first saw this movie, it terrified me and gave me nightmares forever.
Shaun of the Dead did, really?
Yes.
Why?
I just did not do well with blood until like, I don't know, probably 2011.
For 2011, no blood. After 2011, lots of blood.
So it was really funny to like rewatch it again in like a new, with a new like perspective, and then also read like a lot of the background info about it, because it has so many callbacks to other things, which is such a horror movie thing.
Which is great. Which is great.
Yeah.
Homages are wonderful things, right? They really are. Yeah.
So I loved it. Christina, what did you think? Miss, I hate scary movies.
Okay, you're right.
Well, I have a vague memory of watching it before, but like I feel like it might have been at a party because I remember catching scenes before. So I feel like moving into it and sitting there and actually watching it, I did it during the daylight just to, so I prepared myself and was able to like watch some kind of rom-com after and like erase all the scariness of it. And I think it helped and kind of already knowing the premises and this and that. I definitely covered my face during some scary, gross, gore parts and screamed a little when things, you know, surprised me.
Yeah.
But all in all, I would give it a really high rating because the laugh factor of it helped pull me through.
What's interesting to me is horror and comedy really actually go hand in hand. They really do. You know, you've got stuff that is just straight up just gore and just terrifying. There's plenty of movies like that, obviously, right? But there's lots of, I mean, you mentioned earlier John Landis. American Werewolf in London is an amazing horror film, but it's very funny too. It has definitely funny moments to it. Cabin Fever is one of my favorite movies, and there are definitely funny moments to it, right? The Blair Witch Project is one of my favorite films ever made, and there are funny moments in the beginning of the film, not much later, but there are. like there are just, this stuff can go very well together, right? And this is a great example of one that really does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, I know this isn't your favorite director in the world, not the one you think I'm going to quote, but Jordan Peele. Actually,
he's great.
He got I didn't know you liked him.
His movies are definitely, they are impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are. And very interesting.
Yes,
but
they are.
He got interviewed because he was a comedy writer.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a, like, he did Nope. He did Get Out.
I saw Nope, if you could believe it.
I actually have not seen that.
I am surprised you saw Nope.
I screamed so many times through that thing. Every time I see a cloud now, I think it's an alien.
Wow.
If you've seen it, you know what I mean.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on the list, though, but the list is big. So
yeah,
who knows when we'll get there.
I actually told you I thought you should do it. Apparently, I only recommend movies that look like my growing up, though, because they must scare me the most, like country movies and things. And but so he was saying – someone asked him what it was like to transition from comedy to horror. And he said, you know, it's honestly not that different because it's all about a sense of timing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. You know what I just watched the other day? I watched a good one. And this, I think it's better than people have said. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, right? It is a little bit of meta horror in the way that it is aware of itself. And I hadn't watched it in a long time. Just looking at it face value, it's not good. But there are a lot of good reference jokes to the original film in there and other things that are funny too and like commentary stuff. So that's getting off topic, but whatever. But it's kind of
whenever,
the same thing.
Yeah. Whenever I don't like a movie, I like to look at the trivia because it makes me like it more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Interesting.
Sure. So speaking of trivia, Sean and Ed's friendship is actually based on Simon Pegg's and Nick Frost's, Simon Pegg being Sean and Nick Frost being Ed, when they lived together and shared a flat.
Like real life friendship.
So the acting took nothing because the two of them just all – there was just cameras in front of them at the same time. So, yeah, go. Do it.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Right. Oh, my God.
I'm curious what it would have been like to sit down and write it.
Yeah. It was probably easy for them to I would think it would have been easy for them to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
So many things are references to like their life. So John and Bernie, who run the Winchester, those are the real names of the landlord and landlady who used to run Simon Pegg's local pub, which is called Shepherd's in Highgate. So I don't know if that means that's where they live or where
they live
in London. I know, right? So John used to make toasted sandwiches for regulars, and there is a reference to the Breville out back, which is like a sandwich making thing. They talk about how like they'll get food from that when they're going to hole up there. And Pegg and Frost were regular attendees of Shepherd's Thursday night quiz night, hence the line, "We do the quiz when Sean is knocking on the Winchester's door." That's how he's trying to get them to let him in.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And then when Liz, Sean's girlfriend, objects to going to the Winchester because she says that living with them is like –
she hates the Winchester, by the way.
She hates it.
Because he just wastes his life in there basically, which he kind of does.
She says that he and Ed live like zombies.
Yeah.
That's one of the opening lines in the movie.
And don't forget, which is such a great scene. Oh, I forgot. This is a good moment for it. Remember at the end when, you know, whatever it says, 8 months, whatever, how much time has passed. That scene when he wakes up in the morning and he stumbles in, you see his feet just shuffling and it's in the camera pans up and he's yawning. You're like, is he a zombie? But he's like, nah, he just got out of bed. He's like, he just kind of wakes up. That was good. That was good.
So Sean, when he, after he wakes up in that moment you were talking about, then he like shuffles through the street, and heads to the shop. The worker on the, a worker on the street is listening to the radio and the newscast mentions a space probe that unexpectedly re-entered the Earth's atmosphere and broke up over England. And this is likely a reference to the Night of the Living Dead, the 68 version, in which radiation from a satellite returning from Venus has given a was given as a possible cause for the dead returning to life.
There you go. That's right.
Interesting.
Yep. So it kind of makes you like
so
it
two,
more.
So two good Night of the Living Dead references.
There are several.
Well, there's two we've mentioned at least so far, right?
Yeah, there are so many good references in here. So on Z-Day, which is like the day when he wakes up and he is like acting as though he is a zombie, but actually they go to the Winchester and everyone else is actually zombies. So Sean is flipping through channels when he gets back from the shop and we hear – from each channel, and together they form a full sentence explaining what's happening. Yes. So although no one is prepared to comment, religious groups are calling it Judgment Day. There's flip. Panic on the streets of London, flip. As an increasing number of reports of, flip. Serious attacks on, flip. People who are literally being, flip. Eaten alive, flip. But witness reports are sketchy. One unifying detail seems to be that the attackers in many instances appear to be dead, excited to have with us here. And then actually the news readers are real people that are newscasters in Britain.
How about that?
That's cool.
Pretty good, huh? Yeah.
This I love is that.
Well done, right?
It really is. It's so well thought out. So much so that Quentin Tarantino said it was one of the top 20 movies made since 92.
That's as to quote a line from one of his great movies, Pulp Fiction. That's a bold statement. but that's, I mean, that's yeah. You know what? You know what? When you're making a zombie film and someone like me is going to watch it and it's going to, you need to deliver. You have to be sure you have the things in there that, like I said, this is a comedy first and foremost, but it's got zombie stuff. Make me like your movie. And I do it because you did a good job of, you know, you didn't change it, make the zombies, you know, you know, look stupid or paint them purple or like just do, you know, something mm-hmm. dumb like that. You stuck to how we've been told they are through movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think
it's cool. It seems like it's, right. I don't know, the perspective is from these, you know, group of people that are pretty in their bubble and don't really know what is happening outside of their bubble. That's so right. We don't know how it really got caused. We don't know how they got mm-hmm. it under control. We don't know why some people mm-hmm. became zombies. Some people, like, there's so many unanswered, like, just, you know, umbrella type questions that normal zombie movies, I haven't seen that many, I feel would probably we'll answer. And this one just completely ignores and is like, who the fuck cares how they became zombies? Let's just like get away from them.
That's usually touched on so quickly, right? You know, I mean, that's just one of those things where it's just like, oh, an asteroid crashed or oh, contaminated with something and like we move on, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I noticed, and I know it's called Shaun of the Dead, so maybe this seemed obvious to everyone.
The name is wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, the name is just fabulous.
It really is. So he is the only one that ever makes contact with a zombie other than like when people are being bitten. Like he, and the reason is, I looked it up, everyone else had real weapons so they couldn't hit the zombies. And he had a foam cricket bat. So he was the only one who could actually hit
then
anyone.
He got the gun. Right.
That's funny.
You know what, though? To your point of the title, it's great. But here's one more part about it. What's so great? But also, like, I mean, it is a spoof, right? Because if you don't know Dawn of the Dead, like, it's not funny. It's just a movie called Shaun of the Dead. What is that? What is that, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important because that is the whole, like, thing with it.
Yeah, I agree. They went into so much detail. Like a lot of times in zombie movies, I look at the zombies and I try to track like who was the actual, like if any of the people that get killed or turned into zombies show up as zombies.
Right.
In this movie, they all do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty mm-hmm. much.
I mean, it was a pretty low budget movie. So it's, you know, I would imagine if it's like a super expensive actor, that might be why you don't turn that person into a zombie. But it's an independent movie, right, Matt?
I believe so. I forget who the production, but I mean, they may not have had a lot of money, but it sure looks good. They did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really did.
Mm-hmm. Looks nice. Yeah, shot very mm-hmm. well. Good production.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And they actually wanted to release it earlier, but because of the timing and similarity in names, distributors were forced to hold the movie back.
That's right, because
2 weeks after the Dawn of the Dead came out.
Because Dawn of the Dead remake was 2004, wasn't it? Yep. Yes.
Oh.
That movie is pretty awesome. That movie's pretty great. Yeah, Dawn of the Dead remake is pretty good. I will not say it's better than the original, but it is pretty good. Mm. It's pretty good. Mm.
It takes a lot to be better than the original for pretty much.
I mean, still the only film that anyone will still really argue about it's better than the original is probably Godfather 2, right? So that's,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they actually considered doing a sequel.
Did they? I would have definitely watched it.
And they were going to replace.
I still would.
So they were going to replace, it was actually Sean Penn and Edgar Wright, who mm-hmm. I think is the guy who's in Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the roommate that hates Ed.
And he has done his share of films, and I am blanking on titles right now, but he's.
Oh, he's done so many things.
So many, yeah.
For some reason, the only thing that I could pull out of my brain was Guardians of the Galaxy, which is like, because it's so random.
It's a pretty popular movie.
But it's a random role for him.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I think is he in like one of the Star Wars movies? And like, he's in a lot of stuff.
I don't know.
But they considered replacing the zombies with another monster, but decided against it because they mm-hmm. felt like it was a good standalone and that too many characters died in the original story.
That's true.
But they proposed the title, which I freaking love, From Dusk Till Shawn.
Whoa, I like it. Now, does that mean it's going to be a vampire movie, though, right? Or I don't
know. Dusk Till Dawn. Aren't they all vampires in that movie?
Dusk Till Dawn's awesome.
Yeah, that's an awesome movie. I actually saw that one, too.
That's a really good one. Yep.
That is hilarious.
From Dusk Till Dawn. Wow.
Oh my God.
I thought you would like that one. Who directed From Dusk Till Dawn?
That's Robert Rodriguez.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It was, Tarantino's, I saw it as a double feature.
Tarantino's in it.
Well, Tarantino works with him on,
Grindhouse?
Grindhouse. Yeah. What are the two movies that are lumped in there?
Death Proof.
Yes.
Yeah,
is one of them.
And then it rolls into the
Stuntman Mike and Death Proof, and what's the other one? I can't remember the name of the other one.
I cannot think of it.
I haven't seen him in a minute, but yeah, Death Proof is one of them, and the Grind. Those were good though. I enjoyed those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's probably also where, because they're like friends. They collab on things.
Oh yeah, Robert Rodriguez is. You know, that guy, if you want to learn how to make guerrilla filmmaking at its utmost basic level, read his book, Rebel Without a Crew. It's amazing. Yep. Teach you everything you need to know.
I love that. Oh, yeah. All right. Let me see if I have any other trivia for you guys. When Sean and his friends get inside the pub, horror writer and Fright Fest organizer, and I know you've been to Fright Fest, right, Matt?
Not Fright Fest.
Okay. Alan Jones can be seen as a zombie walking past the phone box.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
He's the bald one in the checkered shirt.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting. They also did some cool, I call them callbacks. You called them something else.
What? Like references?
Yes.
Okay.
You called it something else that I can't.
Homages.
Yes.
Yeah.
It fell out of my brain.
Yeah.
So when David, Sean, Liz, Diane, Barbara, and Ed run into that alternative gang, like their friends that they know that are another group. As they make their way to the Winchester, there are quite a few comedy partnerships brought together again. So Sean Pegg and Jessica Hines were Tim and Daisy from Spaced in 1999.
Oh my God.
Lucy Davis and Martin Freeman are Don and Tim from The Office in 2001. Mm-hmm. Dylan Moran and Thompson Greig. Are Bernard and Fran from the Black Books in 2000. And Julia Deakin and Nick Frost are in Spaced also as Marsha and Mike.
Okay. All British shows we're talking about, British movies here?
I guess I thought you would know better.
The Office. The Office is originally a British production, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what they're talking about there. And the rest of them, unfortunately, I do not know much. I don't know anything about, honestly. But that's interesting. Okay. I wouldn't have known those people then.
Well, I think the funny thing is it's sort of like a counterpart to them because they're sort of dressed the same. They sort of look the same.
Right.
As
same
they
number
move
people.
Down. Yeah. And as they move down the row, it's like it's a reflection of them. And it's a group that's probably making the better choice than going to the Winchester.
See, that's and then that again is what's great about this movie. It's just this big, like, you know, collaboration of these people I work with and these folks that I love and these movies that I love and this thing. Yeah, so that's again, which is really, really good about it. I like that a lot. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And they shot it in only 9 weeks. I know you like to know timelines.
What?
But... Okay, that's quick. That's pretty
that's
good.
Super
fast.
Yeah, good. Well, I didn't have a whole lot of money, so they can't just sit there and shoot forever and ever and ever. So
yeah,
right. Cool.
Yeah, they moved fast.
They did, and everything was in London or somewhere near, right? Everything was there.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely in England.
Yeah. Okay.
Or somewhere in the UK. It's possible it's Scotland, and I'm just
guessing it probably is, but I don't
or
know.
Wales.
But I don't want to say that because I don't know for sure, right?
So. I know. I don't want to make the mistake.
No, exactly.
Well, that was fun. I really like this movie. Christina, good. I'm impressed you like this movie.
I know. Well,
it's not just pure horror, right? It's like,
it's exactly.
Funny, so.
Totally. If I can laugh throughout it for a lot of the majority of the time, I'm good. You got me.
All right. Good. So here's the important question, right? If you had Okay, think of a restaurant. This, actually, you have to answer. I have two burning questions. First one is easier. If you had to go hide out in a restaurant somewhere, like the Winchester, where would it be that's near your – where would you go?
Oh, I would go to where I go eat sushi happy hour, like at least once a week.
All right.
Shout out to N Sushi. I can walk there in like 11 and a half minutes.
Okay. And if you run from the zombies, you'll be there in 5.
Yeah. And they have a giant container where it's, you know, $2 sake. So the sake is not running out.
Oh, man. All right.
I'd have to eat the fish pretty fast, I would imagine.
Probably.
But they have like an upper balcony that I feel like I could barricade and like hover up in and be okay if they happen to break through the windows and like, you know.
See that? And that feeds into my second, but what is Sarah? Where are you hiding out?
Yeah. See, that's what I was just thinking. Like it would be actually pretty difficult to like barricade most of the places near me. Honestly, and this is a place I would never choose to go, but if I'm looking for safety reasons, it would be the Cheesecake Factory in Clarendon because that only has a door and it has no windows.
This is true. I know the one you're talking about. The one I was going to say was, and I don't know if you know this place, but this is a shout out to a place where we used to go all the time. And it reminds me when I saw this movie of the Winchester, Cowboy Cafe. Shout out to Cowboy Cafe to my buddies who run that place up in North Arlington. That's where I'm going, right? Because it reminds me of this movie. I don't think we'd be very successful in avoiding zombies there, but that's where I'm going. But then my second question, though, is what is your plan? Zombies, you wake up tomorrow and it's the world's over. What are you doing? Where are you going? Who are you taking? What are you doing? What's your plan?
God, it's hard. I feel like I would probably head to my brother who is about an hour north of me because they have a giant garden and chickens. And I feel like, oh, I could hide out over there and eat, you know, fresh eggs and eat their veggies. And I think my brother might have a gun.
All right. That's a good plan.
Also, her brother is named Sean and is married to Liz. And
no, that's not true.
And his name.
Why did we say this earlier?
Oh, he spells it S-H-A-U-N also.
Oh, okay. Now, see, this wow.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like.
Okay, well, that is definitely where you're going.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to survive and through, then, this whole thing.
Now you need to look at the map where he lives and see if there's a restaurant called the Winchester, because at this rate, there probably is.
There might be.
Or Shepherd's.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wow. So I would question that because I think the chickens, depending on if the zombies are sensitive to sound, I think the chickens would draw zombies.
That's a good point. They would, yeah, you have to put them inside or something because they would make noise. This is a good one.
Chicken feces is like super toxic if it's inside, if they're inside.
Yeah, but you got to figure out something because you don't want to get killed by the zombies. So,
yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I think I would kill and eat the chickens.
Well, eventually you'd have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would hate to say that to my vegetarian/vegan friend here, but
poor Flower.
You gotta survive though. You gotta, you know?
Yeah, I think it would depend on how they're coming. I don't know what we would do. We are decently set up in this house because we have like a carriage house above our garage that would be way too high for anything to get into. Mm-hmm. And we have our like external freezer in the garage. So the only issue would be
The power's going to go out though, because the grid's going to go.
True. Yeah. But I mean, at some point, like you have a minimum of 6 hours with that freezer, like being completely frozen, which I know because when our fridge died, that was what Consumer Reports recommended for food.
Consumer Reports. There you go.
You got to start eating. You got to start firing up some kind of external grill that doesn't require electricity and eat.
But here's the other thing. We have all of those like preserving things in our house because Philippe is such a crazy cook. So he he could actually preserve a lot of our meats that are frozen and things that are frozen so that they would last. So I don't know. We could actually hole up here. And honestly, the only person I'm taking with me is Philippe. Sorry.
that should be all it is, really. I mean, unless, you know, you have somewhere where you can really hide out with a lot of people, then that's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, you know, like to be the person that says my family, but my parents both move pretty slow and they would be a liability.
He's your ride or die.
You can't have people slowing you down.
My brother would go to my parents because he would be more concerned about my parents, so he would probably die too.
You're being very honest about this right now, and that's what's very important.
I feel like she's going to edit this part out later.
What did I say? These are burning questions. They really are. This is important stuff. Here,
I'm so curious on your plan, Matt, because I feel I want to probably copy you.
My plan is, so I am
I may try to get in on it. He lives close enough to me. He's only like 4 miles away.
She runs fast.
I know. I'm going to go to my office, and I have multiple levels. It's near the Potomac River. It has security. It has other different things I can use to defend myself. It's near a water source. Now, the Potomac River is pretty disgusting, but, you know, hey, you know what? If it's times are tough and I need to eat something and a fish out of there, I need to go fish and I need to do something, right?
Yeah.
So I like the fact it's got a water source, which gives me water I can bathe or use other things for. I can find some food source out of it. Where I have is there's a rooftop and it's locked and I can have security around it, and there's things, and the grid will go down, but there's a generator that will last for a certain amount of time. Now, it's only going to last me a couple weeks probably, right? After that, I'm going to have to go find somewhere else. But that is the plan from day one. That gives me time to figure some stuff out, hold up with some people there, form some alliances, find some weapons, find some things. And then eventually they're going to get in, or something's going to happen, and we're going to have to go, because where I am is going to depend a lot on power and electricity, and that's going to not last all that long. So after that, then I don't know where I'm going. But I am ready, and anyone can come with me if they want. And let's go. We'll make this work.
So I had another idea, an alternate plan for myself, which I completely forgot about.
Right. John and Liz live really far from you. They're like an hour and a half.
They're like an hour. But I have a van that runs on solar.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't lean on that.
And it's diesel. So in theory, I could just buy vegetable oil at not even buy, just steal it from the grocery store and keep my diesel running bus that has 40 gallons of water already on it and solar energy, and like live away from the zombies, wherever that might be, like outrun them.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know what? I like that idea, but also you got to make sure you stockpile weapons too, right? And I would suggest things like bats and things that don't make a lot of noise, because zombies, and like you mentioned earlier, and weapons and guns are going to be so hard to come by, and ammunition.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to use, you know, wits about you. And remember, you can't be afraid to use it, because if you see someone who's a zombie that you might have known, it ain't that person anymore. You got to kill that zombie.
It's tough, man. That's a tough psychological brain
tough
fuck.
Life decisions you got to make right there. That's right.
Yeah.
Who was I talking to about this the other day?
We were talking on a podcast about this.
You should have
Sarah.
More of these conversations in life. I have them once a month with somebody at least.
Well, Sarah, we recorded an episode, which is probably coming out before this one, about.
It's after.
Okay, y'all are going to have to listen, because Sarah quizzed me on what kind of. Like doomsday situation, would I survive, or would one of us survive more? Great.
By the way, Doomsday, you gotta check that out. That movie's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Christina's like, I'm in.
That sounds like a lovely time.
That's a fabulous movie. See, you know what, you guys have good ideas. I think you're probably gonna be fine. I certainly hope you are, because if it happens and I never see you again, I wish you well. So
I mean, I'd be scrappy if I have to. I feel like
good.
I actually went to a survival camp.
Of course you did, Sarah.
Look at this.
Did you not know this?
Bring it up in our, like, what kind of doomsday situation would you survive? You did not bring this up.
So you guys have already had this conversation.
Maybe
I'm not
you
even
did and I lost
new.
My brain. I don't right? know.
I doubt I brought it up. I didn't bring it up on the post-apocalyptic one. On the post-apocalyptic episode, but I did go to survival school, and So I actually know a lot of things that would be very useful in this circumstance.
Yes, you need to know these things. It's for real. Yeah.
Including like if you have to go into – like if you ever get in water – and you're not expecting it and you're wearing your clothing, the first thing you do is take off your shoes.
Okay.
And anything that like you think you wouldn't want to take off because it's warm, you take off first because it weighs the most.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, you know what though? This stuff, I mean, zombies aside, whatever, right? Like this is like an actual – look, think, what if there's like a, you know, a government overthrow or something? Or what if there's a nuclear attack? Like there are scenario things that could really happen. I'm not saying zombies couldn't happen, but like these are skills that actually are helpful, like seriously, to have.
Oh, well, growing up in the country, like you had to have a lot of these skills. Yeah. Like I had to be able to change a tire.
Yes.
Like
everyone should know how to do that, in my opinion, but whatever.
I had to know what to do if I broke down and it was like snowing or cold and I wasn't going to be able to get to wherever I needed to be, because even, you know, cell phone service is a lot better now than it was growing up, but you can't rely on it. You still have to be able to survive. And
you got to have blankets and towels and all kinds of stuff in your car. And you got to have stuff. You got to be ready.
Yeah, I always had that stuff in my car. Philippe, it actually drives him a little insane. We have a tiny generator that has moved through like the two houses we've lived in together. And he found it like 3 years into living with me and would not stop teasing me about it, because it's tiny. Let it's him. Like it's a Black and Decker, like but it'll charge 3 to 5 phones like without blinking. It powers a light, a room light, a flashlight. It has a radio. Good. It has like a call thing. It has a cigarette lighter so that you can whatever. And I mean, you have to know the skills.
I'm like, telling you, no jokes aside, you really do though. That's true.
Yeah.
Prepare yourselves, everyone out there.
I'm glad we're all set for the end of the world. This is good. So I'm happy to hear. Hopefully everyone listening is ready too. If not, please reach out to us and we'll do our best to help you out.
I mean, we said this in the episode of the post-apocalyptic episode that's coming out in a couple weeks, but if there is a nuclear holocaust, Matt, we're donezo, because if they hit DC,
I mean,
you're done.
That is true. That is true.
Which is actually probably a better situation than surviving it in like outside of the immediate kill zone.
But I'd be lying if I said I didn't kind of want to live in the Walking Dead universe and kind of want to live in that world just for a while, just to see what it's like. But you know, hey, who knows? Who knows, man?
I'm good.
You should go to Burning Man, Matt.
You know what? I've met some folks that have been and they love it. And it definitely sounds like something interesting. That's for sure.
Christine is a burner.
Yeah, I am. There's a lot of it that I didn't go this year. I took my sixth year
Thank
off.
Thank God you didn't go this year.
Oof. But I will say the burners that enjoyed it and were like, whatever, we're stuck at Burning Man. Oh, shoot, you know, were the ones that always over-prepare for Burning Man in whatever situation it might, you know,
always.
Rain, heat, whatever, mud, sun, wind, like you prepare for it and you bring a lot of shit you don't need. But in these moments when actually, look, you needed it, everyone was totally fine. My whole camp was like, well, this is it. We're stuck a couple days longer. Oh, that sucks. You know, darn it.
This is, you know, not only did we discuss a great movie today, but we learned life skills. You know,
I know. It's great.
Oh, man.
This was really fun, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. So, Matt, you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on the internet, that whole internet thing that Al Gore created. You can find me at thescarymovieproject.com. You can email me at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. I'll be happy to talk with you on Instagram at thescarymovieproject. And we have Facebook, too, but I don't really do much on there. So find me on the other platforms is better.
Well, you can also find me and Sarah.
Yeah, where do we find you guys? Where are you guys? Where are you at? Where are you at?
Hit us up on the Instagram.
On the internet.
With
And you can send us episode ideas. You can definitely send us the link to watch Treevenge. you won't believe how easy it is to get in touch.
Oh, boy.
And you should give us all at Laughing with Gingers and the Scary Movie Project a follow, rate, and review so that people can find the podcast.
Yeah. And all right. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye. Deuces.
The Scary Movie Project podcast. Learn more at thescarymovieproject.com.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.